everybody. Welcome to another episode of Find Your Model Health, the official podcast for those looking to optimize their long-term health and weight goals and understand how their body really works. I am your host. I am Shemaine Linney. I am a nutritional therapist, integrative health practitioner, certified iridologist and biohacker. I'm very delighted to have you back with me for another piece of your day, and it's Easter weekend, so I hope you're all keeping very well, but also have great plans with your family this weekend. Easter is a time, I really like Easter, it's a time for reflecting on our blessings, but also on rebirth and renewal, and even sacrifice, and of course, love. So I love to spend Easter weekend just hanging out with my family and reflecting on all our blessings, and also considering what hope I have for the future, not just the future overall, as in society and the world, but my own future, my family's future. So we are continuing on with our conversation around amino acids this week. But before I go on, I must remind you that the information in these podcast episodes is for informational purposes only and should not be taken as medical advice. Please consult your health practitioner before making any lifestyle changes. So this week, we are looking at glycine. Many of you may have heard of glycine before. I've spoken about glycine many times. But last March 2023, there was a study released, and it basically did a review on glycine. And if you want to look up this research, it's in Aging Research Reviews. You can just Google the title, Glycine and Aging Evidence and Mechanisms. So when this research was released last year, the conversation around glycine really blew up. Now, there was always some conversation around glycine. We knew that it had amazing benefits for sleep. Glycine helps to drop the core temperature and helps to push us into deep sleep. But this research went further into its anti-inflammatory effects, its longevity and anti-aging effects, and even its effects on cancer. So we're going to go into this a bit more now. And whether or not you decide to supplement with glycine is all on you. You can make your own educated decision after you listen to this conversation. It depends on your goals, but you will get glycine in collagen. You will get it in gelatin and bone broth. More so in gelatin, there's higher levels of glycine in gelatin. You'll get it in protein powders, animal products, animal meats. So this conversation is definitely going to be relevant for people, not only people who want to optimize their health, but also people on plant-based diets, because these different molecules can be null and void in a lot of plant-based diets. So let's get into this conversation. Glycine is an amino acid. It's an amino acid that your body can make, but for most of us as we age, we're simply unable to make enough of it, especially if our dietary intake is low because we have a plant-based diet, or maybe we're not getting enough collagen in our diet, or connective tissue. This is where you hear people saying eat nose to tail. But you can get connective tissue in other aspects of an animal-rich diet. It doesn't have to be nose to tail. Anyway, so this new research that came out last year showed that glycine is a powerful longevity enhancer. There's a lot of talk around longevity, especially in the biohacking world. But something like this is not out of reach for the average person. You don't have to be a biohacker or a scientist to take advantage of molecules like this. And glycine is not expensive, so it's pretty affordable. You can get one for a good price on Amazon in the dosage that we want. Community Foods has some, Whole Foods. Anywhere. This research showed that glycine extended lifespan in worms, mice, and rats while improving health in models that had age-related diseases. So this was a review of a lot of different research. So if there was any doubt about the importance of glycine, apart from this research and all the research around glycine, consider that collagen is the most abundant protein in your body. 1/3 of your body is made up of collagen, which is insane. And most of that collagen is made up of glycine. And this is also a precursor to glutathione, and a lot of people will refer to glutathione as our master antioxidant. Whether it is or isn't, we could debate over that, but it's definitely a very powerful, important antioxidant. And because of not only this and the research, it does get under my skin when I see comments in different groups stating like collagen doesn't work in the body. My dermatologist said collagen is a waste of money, that there's no research, even though there's mountains of research, that it's not efficacious when taken in supplement form. It's not I've heard it all, and it angers me because whoever's saying that obviously has not seen the research. And there is a lot of research, and there are a lot of very reputable health proponents and practitioners and doctors who understand glycine and utilize it with their patients as well. Dr. Mercola being one of them, very reputable, very educated in his field, is a big proponent of glycine. So when we look at glycine for its actions as a potential fountain of youth, we're seeing that the two key seem to be it helps to induce autophagy, and then it helps to mimic the longevity benefits of methionine restriction. So autophagy, those of you that have been in the intermittent fasting world, the ketogenic world, even the paleo world, will have heard of autophagy before. It's kind of a hot topic in those groups. Autophagy is basically cellular cleanup, cleaning out damaged proteins and damaged cell organelles and replacing with new and making the cell more optimal or healthy. And then mimicking the longevity benefits of methionine restriction. So methionine is another amino acid. This amino acid has been connected directly to mTOR, which is mammalian target of rapamycin, which is basically an activation or a pathway that encourages growth in the body. So not just muscle growth, not just tissue growth, but growth in regards to cells as well and the aging pathways. So too much methionine in the body can encourage faster aging and the potential health and disease risks that come with aging. Methionine is something that we find mostly in lean meats, and it is wise to offset methionine with glycine. One example is, I'm sure you've seen it or maybe you haven't, a lot of hardcore bodybuilders or physique competitors out there who focus mostly on lean meats and their lean chicken breasts and the lower fats. They get a high level of methionine through their diet. And because of that, a lot of them can look a lot older than they actually are, like 10 years older, because of this methionine and these elevated levels activating enhanced mTOR activation ages them a lot quicker. So they look really old, even though they may be 10 years younger. And a lot of these practices don't include or focus much on collagen or the more gelatinous parts of the animal, or even supplementing with glycine. And even if they do, they're usually not in the amounts that we actually need and that someone in that field would need, like bodybuilding and physique competing. When you've that level of stress being put on the body, you need higher levels of glycine for sure. We could be looking at up to 12 grams a day, like pretty high. 12 grams extra on what you make, depending on how hard you're pushing your body. So that's what methionine is. Methionine has been connected to cancer, but we'll look at one of those studies now in a minute. So glycine is a receptor for the enzyme GNMT, which stands for glycine N-methyl transferase. And this enzyme plays a role in methionine clearance, helping to bind, convert, and get methionine out of the body. According to this research, so the one from last year, glycine is also an acceptor for the GNMT enzyme, which helps with methionine clearance. The GNMT enzyme converts glycine to sarcosine, which is an autophagy-inducing metabolite. So that comes back to our autophagy there. We see through these reviews that in mice deficient in this enzyme, because potentially they are lower in glycine, we see that levels of free methionine may be sevenfold higher, while even another form of methionine, S-adenosyl L-methionine, that may increase to 35-fold. And this matters. This does matter because, like I mentioned, methionine is involved in cancer cell growth and metabolism, so the metabolism of the cancer cell. And methionine restriction has been shown to inhibit cancer cell growth. One specific study focusing on this, you'll see it was done by Oxford Academic, or it was published in Oxford Academic, and it's published in Carcinogenesis, Integrative Cancer Research. The title of this is Dietary Glycine Inhibits the Growth of B16 Melanoma Tumors in Mice. If you're interested in that, go take a look. And it basically showed that methionine restriction not only improved longevity and extended lifespan in mice, it also helped to suppress the tumor growth. We also see in other research that methionine restriction helps to lower levels of insulin, blood sugar or glucose, and also insulin-like growth factor. So limiting methionine, it has an abundance of benefits. And there's also those anti-aging benefits. So the researchers said in the original study from last March, since a low level of methionine signifies a low nutrient state, i.e. calorie restriction, methionine restriction is thought to act as a calorie restriction mimetic. Glycine, in turn, may prolong life by serving as a methionine restriction mimetic. And it does this because it lowers the methionine-glycine ratio, which may be more important than the absolute level of methionine consumption overall. Meaning that if you are consuming a lot of lean meats, as long as you're offsetting that with glycine or products containing glycine, then you're offsetting the potential damage that high levels of methionine can cause in the body. So moving on, there was another study on mice using the data from the National Institute on Aging's Interventions testing program. And this team of scientists found that feeding a diet with 8% glycine increased lifespan significantly by 4 to 6% in males and females, while offering additional benefits like reduced risk of dying from lung cancer. There's a lot more showing the anti-aging effects of collagen synthesis supported with glycine. So glycine encouraging more collagen synthesis, which I think everybody wants for hair, skin, nails, and the appearance of youthfulness. So we see that there's other significant benefits to glycine, especially in its potential to mitigate chronic disease and disability. So glycine receptors predominantly exist in the central nervous system, which is why people who consume, say, monosodium glutamate, glycine being a molecule found in that, can activate the central nervous system or cause some issues with the central nervous system. But in regards to glycine, in the context we're speaking of it, glycine acts as a neurotransmitter. And that aging research review, the one from last year, it compiled multiple examples of glycine's ability to fight age-related diseases in animals, including suppressing tumor growth in mice with melanoma, preserving muscle mass and reducing inflammatory markers in mice with cancer cachexia, even intermittently restricting methionine showed benefits like improved glucose homeostasis, reduced obesity, and protection against fatty liver. We saw in the review protection against cardiac hypertrophy, decreased fasting glucose, improved insulin, improved triglycerides, improved insulin-like growth factor, improved endothelial function in rats. They saw reduced weight gain and improved bone mineral density in a mouse model designed to mimic postmenopausal bone loss. They also saw that it alleviated neuroinflammation and protected against cognitive deficits or decline in mice with neurodegeneration, which I'm just going to stop there. I speak to my clients a lot about neuroinflammation. I have a whole list of symptoms of neuroinflammation. If you would like me to send you that, please reach out to me. And basically, this research shows us that supplementing with glycine during times of neuroinflammation could potentially offset the neuroinflammation and the damaging effects of that. So some examples of neuroinflammation are going to be headache, migraine, the feeling of being drunk even though you haven't been drinking, feeling like your brain is swollen or you're very hot in your face even though your temperature is normal, dry eyes, vertigo, dizziness, discombobulated, even nausea. And some people, usually when looking at my clients, they will usually experience neuroinflammation during times of stress where sleep has been very much compromised and they've not been sleeping well. For myself, if I have one night of bad sleep, I will get a lot of neuroinflammation and it is not fun. So understanding that glycine can help to offset some of that alone is very enticing for me to supplement with glycine, even though I already do. So human trials confirm what all these animal models suggest, and that is that glycine is protective against a huge range of chronic diseases. There was one study, a study of 60 people with metabolic syndrome. 15 grams of glycine a day for 3 months had reduced oxidative stress and improved systolic blood pressure. In older adults, limited availability of glycine and cysteine showed to potentially lead to decreased synthesis of glutathione. Say they had reduced production of this antioxidant, which is made up of glycine, as I mentioned, cysteine and glutamic acid, such that glutathione deficiency is widespread in most of the older population. And I think part of that is because a lot of the older population, they don't focus on a lot of protein, as I mentioned in the last conversation on taurine. And it really is a case that as we get older, the more protein we should be trying to get into our diet, not just for the amino acids and keeping us strong and resilient, but also because of this glutathione aspect, which limited or decreased glutathione is perhaps driven by limited glycine. And this is going to not only be a key element in frailty as we get older and weakened immune system, but it's also going to be driving more oxidative stress and mitochondrial dysfunction. So the mitochondria are not going to work properly. The oxidative stress is where the body degrades and rusts a lot faster, like a rusty gate from weather wear and tear, and these lead to age-related degeneration on many, many levels. So we also see that glycine with NAC supports mitochondrial health. I was going to do a conversation around this soon, but we'll look at it a bit now. So there is a biohacking tool, shall we say, known as GlyNAC. And this is where we supplement glycine and N-acetylcysteine together. So both of these are glutathione precursors. And what the research at Baylor College of Medicine showed that in young mice deficient in glutathione and had mitochondrial dysfunction, supplementing with GlyNAC not only improved glutathione deficiency, but also mitochondrial impairment, oxidative stress, which would include inflammation, and insulin resistance. Additional research that they conducted, so that was Baylor College, conducted in HIV patients, and this is very interesting, found that GlyNAC supplementation improved deficits associated with premature aging in this population. This included improvements in oxidative stress, mitochondrial dysfunction, inflammation, endothelial dysfunction, insulin resistance, genotoxicity, strength and cognition, and lots more. And there were other trials done in humans that found similar results. So supplementing with GlyNAC was shown to help with mitochondrial dysfunction, as mentioned, cognition, oxidative stress, insulin resistance, stress, exercise capacity, body fat levels, inflammation, waist circumference. So there's potential here for a lot of you listening that may need help in these areas. GlyNAC may be something for you to consider. You don't have to supplement just because I'm telling you this information, but now that you're going to be educated, it's something you can consider. So these are also essential in DNA as well, and lots of different cellular reactions. And glycine is very, very important for normal brain function. All amino acids are, as I mentioned in the last conversation around taurine and taurine deficits potentially being connected to autism. And there's a lot of supporting brain research showing that supplementing with glycine may be useful for the prevention and control of atherosclerosis, heart failure, angiogenesis associated with cancer, or retinal disorders, and a range of inflammation-driven syndromes, including metabolic syndrome and brain function. There is also other research showing because glycine is a neurotransmitter, a brain transmitter, glycine's role in brain health is getting a lot of attention now. And there was results of a 15-year study conducted by the University of Florida, and they suggested that it may be involved in depression. Their finding relates to a receptor called GPR158, and when suppressed in mice, stress-induced depression was more likely, and stress being a part of everybody's life, and I kind of hesitate there. In my master's group this week, we were looking a lot at mental health and addiction, and stress being a huge driver of that and how we feel overall in our days. It's the old saying of stress is a killer comes to mind, but it's so much more. It is so much more. So what they saw in this Florida study, they said we were barking up the completely wrong tree before we saw the structure. They said this structure of GPR158, they realized it was an amino acid receptor, and there are only 20. So they screened them right away, and only one amino acid fit perfectly, and that was glycine. So this receptor binds to glycine, and it acts as a metabotrophic glycine receptor, which helps with adenosine and helps to regulate different brain states and implications around depression. So there's a lot to go on here. There's a lot on glycine. There's other research showing us that glycine can be a biomarker for hunger. So there was a study that found that the amino acid glycine was a prominent biomarker of appetite. In this study, they saw that higher levels of circulating glycine were associated with reduced hunger after consumption of water or whey protein. A lot of people, especially on health and weight loss journeys, the feelings of hunger is definitely a consideration, and this can, especially if you're trying to be in a calorie deficit, those feelings of hunger can make your journey harder. So supplementing with glycine may be a viable option here for some people. Then we saw, I mentioned that glycine helps with sleep. Glycine drops core temperature at night, so taking glycine, whether or not it's a supplement or in the form of collagen, bone broth, or gelatin, can help to drop the core temperature, but also relax the central nervous system and help you get into deeper sleep. So glycine is a staple in my clients' diets. So there's a lot to go on here with glycine. It's very promising, the research that's coming out on glycine, not just for the sleep and the waist circumference, but the inflammation, the cancer. There is a lot to be said around these amino acids and their benefits, which potentially could lead into a conversation around the benefits of a protein-rich diet overall. There's an abundance, there's mountains of research supporting the benefits of protein, but also having a protein-rich diet for many reasons, for fat loss, obviously building muscle and keeping the body strong and resilient. Protein is essential for the immune system. Protein supports hydrochloric acid production in the stomach, therefore supports good digestion. Like, there's lots and lots and lots. Protein is essential. I think a year, maybe 2 years ago, I did two separate podcast episodes on protein, the benefits you may not have been aware of. And in those two, I list many, many different aspects of the benefits of protein. Because the thing is, because of the whole, and I hate to say this because I am a gym rat, and I've been doing bodybuilding for a long, long time now. But because of the persona that bodybuilding and the gym industry has given off, especially around certain supplements like protein, a lot of people have this negative perspective around protein and protein supplements, thinking it's just for bodybuilding, or it's just for people who go to the gym, or it's just for the gym rats and people who want to build muscle. And nothing could be further from the truth. Well, I'm sure there's other things that are further from the truth, but you know what I mean. The benefits of protein are endless. And really, the older we get, the more we should be prioritizing and focusing on even increasing our protein. But like I mentioned, we've got the brain health. We've got so many people have digestive issues, so many people with low hydrochloric acid, and protein can be very beneficial in these areas. So if you get the time, I highly encourage that you go take a listen to both of those podcast episodes. But otherwise, I hope you found this really, really interesting. If you've got any questions for me, or if you want that list of neuroinflammation symptoms, you can reach out to me at shemainesmodelhealth.com or Facebook and Instagram, the same name, Shemaine's Model Health, and I'll be happy to get that with you or answer any questions you may have around the topic. As always, please like, share, and subscribe. If there's anyone you think that may benefit from this information, please share it with them. The more we can be educated around our health, the more we can take responsibility for our health and different health outcomes. Have a great, great Easter, everybody. I'm sending you lots of well wishes and blessings to your family. I hope you enjoyed this very special weekend, and I will chat to you all real soon. Bye-bye.